Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel read on this Lord's Day must be one of the most familiar parables of Jesus because it paints such a vivid picture of the rich man and poor Lazarus. What life was like for them in this world, and what life was like for them in the next. It's strange, the things we remember in life, but when I was a little boy, I was always a bit puzzled as to what was meant when Jesus says that the rich man fared sumptuously every day. As far as I can remember, I think it was explained to me in this way, that for the rich man, every day was like Thanksgiving Day, with far more food and drink than he could possibly need. As far as his clothing was concerned, well, that was understandable enough. He was clothed in expensive purple and fine linen. And then there is Lazarus, a poor beggar laid at the gate of the rich man's splendid home, in the hope that the rich man and his friends might take pity on him, feeding him with bits of bread that were thrown away from the rich man's table. Completing the picture of Lazarus' misery is the fact that the dogs running the streets, scavengers, came and licked his sores. But then comes the complete reversal in the hour of death. Poor Lazarus dies. The name Lazarus is the only proper name that appears in Jesus' parables. And the name Lazarus means just this: God is my helper. Despite all his poverty, Lazarus had the true riches because he trusted God. And so in the hour of death, the holy angels come and carry his soul to paradise. As far as the rich man is concerned, Jesus says only this: he died and was buried. Preaching on this parable to his people, St. John Chrysostom said that even when the rich man was alive, his merciless soul was already in a real sense buried by couches, rugs, furnishings, sweet oils, perfumes, large quantities of wine, varieties of food, and flatterers. But in death, the rich man is in misery. Yet even in his misery, the rich man sees Lazarus as nothing more than some kind of servant to be sent to cool the tip of his tongue, and then to be sent to warn the rich man's brothers of what awaited them. What this shows is that there is no repentance in hell. Abraham tells Lazarus of the great gulf fixed between paradise and hell, and then adds that the rich man's brethren can listen to the call of repentance in the words of Moses and the prophets, and to the rich man's suggestion that his brothers might repent if someone went to them from the dead. Abraham replies, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. In telling this parable to the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, and who, as Jesus said of them on another occasion, devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, Jesus is calling the Pharisees to repentance, and us as well, just as the Apostle St. John does in the epistle for this day, when he says, "The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" We too, on this Lord's Day, are being called to repentance, and we are shown the consequences, the eternal consequences, of hardening our hearts to that call. Because of our sins which separate us from God, we too must each be Lazarus, that is, one who trusts in God and in his mercy. How great that mercy is, how great his love. Because you might say that God the Son himself became a kind of Lazarus, cast out of the city, covered with terrible wounds from the scourging, nailed to the cross, exposed to his smug and self-satisfied enemies. And all this so that you and I may not be cast out forever, but finally come to the paradise of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.